Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank The Career for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You don't have to be an expert. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You do not need paper behind your name to speak on this show. Your opinion is highly appreciated and welcome. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Joe Biden makes Americans an offer they can't refuse. Joe Biden, in his infinite wisdom, has authorized and empowered federal employers and employers who have more than 100 employees to mandate or force unvaccinated people to take the vaccine, be subject to weekly COVID-19 testing, having it at the Q-tip up your nose, kind of like test, right? This Biden does in the name of the health and welfare of the people and preventing the spread of the always mutating COVID-19 virus. Dr. Christina Park stated 70% of African Americans are unvaccinated. Get watch. If your employer fires you because you won't get the COVID vaccine, don't expect to collect unemployment. Y'all heard that? Yeah, I'm not trying to taunt unvaccinated people. I'm just saying what they say on Market Watch. Don't expect to collect unemployment. This often means that they are let go due to lack of work, said Anna Ackles, a labor and employment lawyer at Bell Newley, a Dallas-based law firm. Typically, an employee who is terminated for failure to comply with company policies is not eligible for unemployment benefits, which would include, they say, refusing to comply with a company's COVID-19 prevention policies, masking requirements, or vaccine requirements. But an employee who has proof of a medical exemption or religious objection to receiving a COVID-19 vaccine may still be eligible to collect unemployment benefits is fired, said Rebecca Dixon, executive director of the National Employment Law Project, a nonprofit that advocates for workers' rights. So I guess that's the crutch of what's happening. So to put salt to injury, people, individuals who refuse to take the vaccine as mandated by their employers, be it federal or an employer who has a staff of 100 or more, you will not be able to provide for your family, maintain your property, or shop in the market if you don't get the vaccine as dictated by your government and your employer. All right? The Constitution assumes that the vaccine being mandated is safe, because it does have the Constitution does allow for states to do that and employers to do that. It assumes that the vaccine is safe, because if it is not, it is given legal authority to states, federal government, states, and employees to deny Americans their right to life and pursuit of happiness and subject them to the will of the federal, state, local government, employers, big pharma, and interest groups. Now, that right there is another show to explain some of that. But and short. You will not be able to provide for your family if you don't get this vaccine and you are not self-employed. And your employer says, hey, did you get the jab? Prove it. Right? That is akin to putting a gun to your head. Actually, it's akin to putting a gun to your family's head. Because it basically is a threat to your whole family, to the livelihood and the survival and the health and well-being, which they're supposed to be trying to be acting in, of your whole family. Because you lose your house, which you're not going to, if you pay a mortgage, you got a house that you pay a mortgage, it doesn't matter. If you don't have any money to pay that mortgage, they're going to repossess that house, put it back on the market, sell it to somebody else who took the vaccine and still working. And it's not a joke. You know, that may sound, that might have came out the wrong way, but it's a serious subject. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to happen to somebody who didn't take the vaccine, who don't have to take it because they're self-employed and there is no mandate yet that could force them to take the vaccine. Right? That's kind of mark of the beast-ish. You know, I don't hear a lot of people talking, some people talking about this mark of the beast thing. I don't really know much about that. And revelations and things like that, that is one of the things they say, if you don't get it, you won't be able to shop in the marketplace. Well, if you don't have a job, you're not going to be able to shop anywhere. So I assume crime will increase, has the potential to increase if people are not going to get the vaccine and they get fired and they're not able to collect unemployment. I would anticipate a revolutionary reaction to this mandate. You never know. Folks have to live. I suspect this mandate will impact on Biden's ability to be reelected in 4 years, though. Especially if 70% of the unvaccinated, he just threatened them. Basically, threatening the all unvaccinated individuals. And it seems like they're assuming that people who are unvaccinated are a threat to the people who are vaccinated. And basically, catalysts for the virus, which doesn't make sense when you look at what's actually occurring with this virus and these vaccines, right? So what the hell was a vaccine anyway that, you know, what is the problem here? Right? You may be asking that, wondering. And I've been doing this thing, this vaccine thing, a couple of times. You know, from the CDC, say vaccines help develop immunity by imitating an infection. So I'm going to give you something that's going to help your body develop an immunity by triggering it to trigger its immune system, right? But I'm not going to give you something that's going to harm you. That's the theory of it. The truth of the matter is, if you look at anything about vaccines, they have adverse effects, and sometimes people die from vaccines, not just the COVID vaccine. This is not the first vaccine that death may be associated with. So I'm just going to say that. And I guess I think I did a show on vaccines. And, you know, if you look back, I guess you're going to be very suspicious about that. But vaccines help develop immunity. That's what we're talking about, right? So vaccinated or not, right? You should be interested in what the so-called experts, clinical data, doctors on the ground in a war treating people infected with COVID-19 have to say. You should be interested in what everybody is saying. You shouldn't. If you only want to hear things one way or you don't want to hear anything, you want to stick your head in the ground, then whatever you get is what you get. You know, you're not trying to hear the, all the information. You're not trying to assess the situation. right? The more information you have, the more informed you are, the more informed you are, that increases your ability to make an informed decision. Even if you want to take the risk or whatever the risk may be, they said, you take it. As my cousin said, it's a choice. But the choice is best made when you have all the information that's available. That's it, without censorship. And because you got a lot of that going on, without a lot of misinformation and disinformation going on, things like that. We got a lot of things going on. People taking information and basically using a segment to support or interpret it to support what they want. And they say that's not really what's going on. They say that's happening. That is happening, but they're not really interpreting it, giving you, it's like somebody telling you it's raining a little bit and it's a tornado outside. You know what I'm saying? So you should want to know as much about what you allow someone to put in you as you should want to know about what someone is trying to put in you. So it doesn't matter what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if you took the vaccine or not. This information is should be something you should know. It give you more information to know what to look for if any of these things occur. Give you information depending on what side of the fence you want, make a decision whether or not you want to receive this vaccine. But you're going to, I guess you're going to fire me because I'm not going to put myself at that kind of risk. I'm not going to put my children at that kind of risk. So more information you have, the more of a educated, informed decision you get to make. Right? Anything less than that, and you're being led by the nose, by government, big pharma, interest groups, medical professionals, friends, and some family probably. So sheep and cows are accustomed to that. But I guess human beings are too. I guess we have that ability just to follow the leader. Whatever's in, we do have that ability, and that's why things happen. We do things without being informed. No doubt. So, is Joe Biden ignoring the data, ignorant, or both? What is he doing? He's supposed to be the president of the United States of America, right? So, on what grounds does he think it's necessary to mandate the vaccine? I mean, get the whole thing about immunity and things like that. But if we're talking about immunity, which we're going to go farther into this show, we're going to see where that's very questionable. As far as that goes, are so-called representatives and statesmen and women ignoring the data, ignorant, or both? And I forgot, are they scared in their pants, scared to lose their job? So they're not saying anything. You know, I see guys all trying to get to the bottom of this. Rand Paul questioning Fauci's involvement with the origin of this virus, with the gainful function. You know, I wonder, that's like almost a year later, though, you know. So, I mean, the information was available. Dr. Bittar knew about this when this thing first hit the fan, you know, when the hit the fan. I don't know. Somehow, right? The country has been subdivided. I can't even say subdivided because we got so many divisions in this country. But I'm just using that for lack of a better term. The country has been subdivided between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated being targeted for the perpetuation of the virus through, so it is known that the vaccinated can be infected and infect others with the virus. So So the vaccinated, unvaccinated are being targeted for why this virus is going to continue. Hey, these guys don't get vaccinated, this thing will never, ever end. Right? Even though it's known that the unvaccinated, that the vaccinated can be infected and infect others with the virus. That's a very confusing kind of odd thing right there, scenario right there. Because apparently the vaccine is, as we spoke about before, it has the efficacy in the symptoms, not with providing immunity, because if it provided immunity, we wouldn't have all these people all being infected and with the ability to affect others. You wouldn't need to wear a mask if you had the shot, the jab, the one, the two, the three, whatever, right? Because the vaccine would have provided immunity, like a vaccine is supposed to do. And so it's still recommended that you take the same, observe the same COVID-19 protocol, washing hands, distancing, wear a mask, and before. So that's even if you had the shot. So you got to ask yourself, so what, I had the shot? Why am I still acting like I haven't had the shot? I'm doing the same thing dude is doing over here who hasn't had the shot. You know, stay back right there, folks. No. Keep your mask on, coughing your elbow. What you coughing your elbow anyway? I don't care if it was no COVID. You need to be coughing in your elbow away from people, things like that. So cough somewhere, not on somebody, not in the air either, sneezing and all that kind of nonsense. So that's it without COVID. So or any kind, I don't care. Nobody want to be bothered with that. Anyway, back to the show. So the vaccinated are high-risk, are considered high-risk slackers, right? And disease carriers or possible disease carriers, right? Because, hey, you're unvaccinated. You catch this thing and you will pass it to somebody else because you're unvaccinated. Does anybody see anything peculiar about that train of thought? When it's documented fact that people who are vaccinated can contract the COVID-19 virus and infect somebody else with it? How can you only have one carrier, the unvaccinated? That makes no sense. If Biden wants to identify the virus in the spirit of early detection, everybody would have to be routinely tested weekly. That's the only way to do that. You can't just say, you're vaccinated, we don't got to test you. What do you mean you don't have to test them? It's already been confirmed that vaccinated people can be infected and pass infection. And even more, they won't even look, they have the ability not to look sick, even though unvaccinated people have the same ability not to appear sick, have the asymptom or appearance. But vaccinated people, they say, have that ability and can have the high infection. Bam. So they can light up a whole room. One vaccinated person that's infected, reinfected, however you want to call it, or whatever's causing the infection. So why is this genius only focusing on, this is what I'm asking, why is this genius of a president only focusing on testing unvaccinated folk? President of the United States, you have the all of these scientific minds you have access to all over the world speaking out. Are they suppressing information or ignoring the information? Something is wrong with this picture. So the vaccine is said to have efficacy, however percent, doesn't even matter, right? Because it is what it is. You get the vaccine, and if you get sick, you get hospitalized, and you die, that is what it is for you, that individual. So it's said to have efficacy in reducing the symptoms, hospitalization, and death related to the COVID-19 virus, right? Which is good. As I've been saying, that's the good part about the vaccine. All this testing, weekly testing, and is that a method of making life inconvenient and unbearable for the unvaccinated? Is it just a harassment? Because you're only testing the unvaccinated genius? You're looking for a virus that everybody can be infected with. You only checking the people who are not vaccinated. Anybody else see how this is not? And I don't know if Joe was known to be a smart president or not, but he can't get my vote right now, because he just seems like he's playing ball. And he's not informed, as I previously suggested. Before you, we like a person to recommend something to us. I recommend an electrician to you. You want me to be informed about that guy. You want me to, he's an excellent electrician. He's this, he's that, does good work. He comes back. He's pleasant. He doesn't steal, and your house is worth the light and very knowledgeable of their craft. And I don't have any adverse complaints about this guy. I know a couple of other people that use him, and everybody says beautiful things about his work and him. That's what you expect, because when I recommend something to you, I'm telling you, hey, I know about that. And you can trust him. You have $100 on your table in your house, and he coming in, you're not going to steal it. You can worry about it. He's cool. And he's there to help you to do the work you want him to do for you. Same thing for this vaccine situation. I'm sure that if people thought or knew the vaccine was safe, right, more people would get the jab for fear of dying. Just nothing but fear of dying. If they just feel like to speak for the vaccine, you know what I'm saying? Hey, safe, you know, hey, look, we gave this thing to 100 people. Every test we ran, we haven't gotten any adverse effects. Everybody that's taken it so far is doing great. Nothing happened. You know, we had a little bit of hiccup with so-and-so, but it's how we explained it. We found out it was this, you know, but like I said, I think a lot of people get it just for fear of dying, because that's why a lot of people are getting it, for fear of dying. Now for fear of being starved to death and kicked and put on the street, because Joe has made it possible for you to lose your job, which in an economic ecosystem, which is the one we live in, economics would be foraging. So when somebody denies you work, right, the ability to earn, right, if you are under an employee, if you are an employee, under an employer who is mandating that you get this vaccine, you are now not able to provide. You can't pay your mortgage. You can't pay your electric, gas. What else you got? Electric, gas. Water bill, right? All the things you need to survive. All that stuff ain't running down the stream. You're not going down the stream to get no water. You're not hunting your own food. You're not growing your own food. You're not sitting by a fire or a pit heating your family up. You can't even heal them, because you don't know nothing about healing for the most part, because you can't afford to go to the doctors. And if you go to the free clinic, probably be crowded with a whole lot of people, especially if you're black, because they say 70% of black people aren't vaccinated. Anyway, mandates actually reinforce the idea that you cannot trust the government, now acting as an authoritarian, tyrannical entity hiding behind the idea of doing what is best for Americans. It might be in the best interest of some Americans. After all, one article did state 9 billionaires have been created since this worldwide vaccination agenda was initiated. 9 billionaires. COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent infection and do not provide immunity. Right? This is evidenced by the CDC 19 protocols, the mask, the distancing, and hand washing, you know, the perceived need for a third booster shot, and so-called breakthrough infections worldwide. Now, I know I've been hearing about an increase in COVID infections in areas where people were not vaccinated, call them unvaccinated areas. They had an increase of COVID-19 infections. So that looks like, hey, well, if I get the vaccination, I'm less likely to be infected or in the hospital. I wish it was that simple. Like I said, that's the best part that I hear about the vaccine, is that you probably need to stop calling it a vaccine. If it's not going to create immunity, I think you shouldn't even call it a vaccine. That's for this vaccine and any other vaccine that we think is supposed to prevent immunity that does it. If it doesn't do that, let's not call it a vaccine. And this is some, I don't know what this is. This is some genetically enhanced protein that they're messing with. So that's another story about, the science behind how they make this thing. And that's not another story. It's actually what we're talking about. But we're going to get into the science behind it. But you know it's genetic, right? It's a genetically altered situation that's being introduced to your body. Genetically, excuse me, and we're going to leave that at right there because based on, that's a new science and everything like that, and they've been trying to do this for a long time. Never came up with none. They've all been not unsuccessful and dangerously unsuccessful, right? There's no long-term evidence regarding safety because there is no long-term use of the vaccine, none of them. Anybody that says they have long-term evidence, they know about what's going to happen in the long term, is simply not telling the truth. I heard a guy say, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen within 2 months. You want to tell me how you can tell the public that nothing's going to happen if it doesn't happen in the first 2 months, when this vaccine it's not even 5 years old, hasn't been in anybody's body that we know for 5 years. So in order for him to make that statement, that would mean they would have to have known about this disease 5 years ago, which would add to the whole conspiracy theory. Actually, it was validated. If anybody knows about a vaccine for this virus that predates the virus, it's how the hell you have a vaccine for something that didn't even come yet? How you get that? Anyway, there's no long-term evidence regarding safety and the efficacy of this vaccine. There's lots of death, fear of death, which coerces people to get the vaccine without being informed about the adverse effects. Before you get the vaccine, you gotta sign this waiver before getting it, exempting the administrator of the vaccine from any liability resulting from the vaccine. That, my friend, is a very deep red flag. Accountability. But how many of us, what would we do if we weren't held accountable for the things that we did? What kind of things would Imagine that, y'all. The times you feel like slapping somebody in the head. You know what I'm saying? Just going on and taking that car off the lot. I'll just go up, just walk up there, go get one of these cars, or get one of these, whatever, Audis, whatever kind of cars you're loading over. What if we just had no accountability? Can you imagine what kind of world we'd be living in? No accountability. We can all agree that if a vaccine is ineffective, if it does not prevent infection and provide immunity, right? It's an ineffective vaccine. So we're looking for vaccines to protect us. We're not looking for our vaccines to, lessen the symptoms. We're looking for a vaccine, right? Like the symptoms, I just won't die. I'm going to be sick as hell, but I won't die. Everybody doesn't die from COVID-19, right? Or anybody doesn't end up in the hospital. But say, come on. Like, we're looking for something that's going to, like, prevent you from being infected. That's what vaccine means to me when I hear that. Somebody say, get it, they got a vaccine for it. That's one of the reasons that would get me lined up for it. Oh, yeah, what? Is it safe? That's the next question. Is it safe? But what's in it? And what happens in 5 years from there? What's going on with it? 20 years from now, what's happening? Will I turn into the walking dead or what? So you just want to know. It's no harm in wanting to know what's in something that they put in you. And I'm going to say that goes for the food you eat too. All right? And it goes for the things you bring to your house. So you got to be aware of the things that in your environment and the things that you allow in your close proximity. Not to get off the show because I'm getting off a little on the beaten trail a little bit right there, but it's relative, trust me. Efficacy in reducing symptoms does not outweigh the risk of impairment or death or adverse long-term risk of impairment or death. That's not a good trade-off. I get that. That's why I say I get why people don't take the vaccine. I understand that. And especially informed people. It was a lady, was she from Michigan somewhere? A doctor. And she worked with the with biochemistry. Her name was Dr. Clark. Christina Parks, right? And she was speaking about the risk with the mRNA vaccines. And she mentioned that the people who are less likely to take the vaccine, right? Number one category, she said, PhD. She said number two was people with an education less than, sixth grade or something, well, who didn't graduate from high school or something. Because they know what they don't know, and they don't trust the government. The next group of people is black people because they don't trust the government because they just have a history of being abused by the government and scientific experiments being done on them by the government. All right, so I thought that was an interesting observation. I don't know where you got the information from, but I see a lot of PhDs. It's not that they're not anti-vaxxers. This is another fallacy that they are trying to say about people who refuse to get this vaccine. They're calling them anti-vaxxer. An anti-vaxxer is a person who is against vaccines, period. So, again, as they do in this country. They attempt to demonize you, right? What are dealing with you? Your resistance. They demonize you first. Once everybody see you as a roach, then it comes time for them to spray that poison on you or step on you. Kill that roach, right? Get rid of them. Exterminate, right? And you become a thing that people don't want to look upon, right? Because they demonize you. Anti-vaxxer. So these people are not anti-vaxxers. They're, like the man said, he's anti-foolishness, anti-stupidity, right? So I get it. And the people who receive the vaccine, they're not stupid. They're just desperate. So I don't want to die. It seems like if I take this vaccine, it's, you know, it helped me right now. I didn't know about these adverse effects that, you know, before I got the vaccine. I didn't know about that. So when I got the vaccine, hey, but based on the information that I had. And then there's going to be people who might have that information about the adverse effects, and I'm willing to take a chance on that happening or not in the future. Right now, I see this thing could save me right now, so I'm going to take this thing right now. That makes sense. I get it. It's not even about making sense. I get the rationale, right? But in terms of the government mandating it, there's a problem here because there's a lot of information out here that the government just seem to be ignoring. And if Joe is doing that, we need to have a talk with Joe. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, first of all, I would like to say I appreciate your approach to this topic. I think it's somewhat measured and it's balanced. So I appreciate that, number one. Number two is the good topic to be talking about. I guess it's timely. I think we're starting to see things. And Joe, I think, you know, let's call it what it is. We know that this is not being thought of by Joe Biden. Joe Biden obviously has diminished mental capacity. He cannot think of these things. He cannot come up with these things. So whoever it is in the administration that's coming up with it, or in the government or outside the country that's coming up with this, since we're starting to see similar things in North America as we're starting to see in places like Australia and New Zealand and places like that and parts of Europe. I think we can say that whoever it is that's pushing this, there's not a lot of logic, and this is very hurried. You know, when you start looking at these laws, they don't even match up at the onset. They don't even match up or hold up to constitutional scrutiny, which is why the lawsuits have already started.
Right.
These governors, I don't know, it's like 23 or something like that, governors have already said that they're not going to go along with it, right? So now we're talking about a constitutional battle and a legal battle, and it doesn't look like it'll hold up under Supreme Court. If you look at it on its face value, if you look at the Constitution, so, and what the federal government can and cannot do, right?
Right.
So we'll see where that goes. As far as the vaccine and the efficacy of the vaccine and the safety of the vaccine, I guess we're going to see. You know, that's the one thing with time. Time is going to tell how safe these vaccines are.
Correct.
And they're not even really vaccines. You know, it's interesting. They're not vaccines under the definition of vaccine. But what they've done, they've changed the dictionary definition of vaccines to match this thing, right? This gene therapy or this gene, whatever they're doing, experimental gene therapy. And because before you had to have the live virus in the vaccine so your body can create antibodies and that kind of thing. But now this one doesn't. It doesn't have it. So it doesn't even meet the definition of what a vaccine is. I wonder if the medical journals and the medical society, I wonder if they've changed their definition of vaccine too. So that's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, as far as the safety of these things, they've already found, I don't know if you heard about it, but where was it, India? They're finding little metal, microscopic metal shards in the vaccines.
Right, but was that the black things they found in the bottle?
They're little metal shards. You can't see them, but they're metal.
Okay.
And some people think of that's why people were having things stick to them, because these little metal things may be magnetic. But they found it in, so they've sent them back. They said these are defaulty. I don't know why they were looking at the vaccine. So they looked at the vaccine, and I think it was India. And they had to say these are defective.
Right.
Because it's got stuff in it, and we don't know what this is.
Right.
Right?
So are you saying nanoparticles? Are you saying nanoparticles? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if they're nanoparticles or not. I would suspect that it might be, but I can't say for sure, so I don't want to say that because I don't know.
Right.
But there were microscopic metal, whatever it was metal, metallic, and it was in the vaccine, and they didn't know what it was, and so they stopped giving it to people, and they stopped that the whole batches that they were in, they sent them back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going on. So I think a lot is going to tell, probably a lot of people are thinking this winter, that if there's some adverse effects from this thing, we're going to see this winter, because that's when people are going to be, especially up north, people are going to start being affected by colds and flus and stuff like that. And if this thing works the way people say it does, that it may, then people are going to be susceptible. Their immune system is going to let everything through.
Right.
And we're going to see. So I guess we just have to wait and see how safe this thing is. You know? I mean, which is dangerous, which is a scary thought, right?
Yeah, that's real dangerous, since we already have people telling us that it's dangerous. You know, Dr. Robert Marlow, the guy who invented the technology, is saying, hey, spike protein process is a very dangerous process. You know, it's a couple of people, Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, and Christina Parks, she testified. They're just ignoring these people because what they're saying does not support the agenda to vaccinate the world.
But here's the thing. If people start getting sick, there's a lot of people that are saying, and it looks like this, what may happen is that they may, instead of blaming the people that are vaccinated, they may blame the people that are unvaccinated.
They're doing that now. That's what's happening now.
Oh, yeah.
They already started that. That's why they want to test. Huh?
Go ahead.
That's why they want to test the unvaccinated. Like, why do you test? Everybody can catch this thing. If you're looking for the disease, you have to test everyone weekly. That part doesn't make sense about what they're saying. You're going to test the people who refuse to get vaccinated. Are you not testing the other people who could be infected?
Yeah, I think what's happening is they're not even going to really want to test. They're just going to blame. Horribly wrong?
Right.
If this thing goes horribly wrong, they're just going to say, well, it's the unvaccinated. That's why all these vaccinated people are dying.
Mm.
And now, so what they've created is they're producing immorality in people in a number of different ways. One of the ways, I believe, and this is just my thoughts, of the first immoral thing they're doing is they're dividing, pitting people against each other, kind of what we saw in Rwanda, right? pitting right. people against each other, breaking them into tribes, and pitting them against each other.
Right.
Because people, unfortunately, as humans, we haven't evolved to the point where we're not susceptible to that kind of thing. So they may pit you and I against each other and say, hey, man, this guy is this guy is that. Now we're starting to look at each other sideways.
Right.
And you're starting to have bad feelings towards your neighbor.
Right.
You're fostering immorality.
Right.
And then you're telling the people that don't get the vaccine, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that. So now you're creating scarcity.
Right.
For people who are not getting the vaccine, which means now they have to make shorter their own morality just to get the things that they need. Now you're fostering more immorality.
That's right.
Personally, inside yourself.
No,
so this thing
that.
Is very dangerous on a number of different levels, but they're fostering immorality in people, and they're going to cause us to start acting in ways that we normally would not have been acting because they're fostering it. They're manufacturing
it. That's right.
You're starting to hear people now say, hey, this guy is against vaccine. I hope he dies. Now, people are saying this against, like, governors and stuff. Think about that. Where if you met this person somewhere, you'd say hi, you have a conversation with them, and that kind of thing, you'd be okay with them.
Right.
I mean, you, I say, hey, what's up, man? We have a job, blah, blah, blah. And now I might say, hey, since you're not getting the vaccine, that's so selfish. I hope you die.
Right.
When that kind of rhetoric starts happening, you have passed the danger zone. You're into
that's
the
right.
danger zone.
That's right.
Big
to wish
time.
Death upon somebody, that's saying a lot. You got that kind of hatred or against another man. You don't even know him. It's just because he made a decision and might have made a more educated decision than you made. You know what I'm saying? You might have done it like some people do it under fear, which I get. As I was saying, I get it. You know, hey, I want to live right now. It's helping some people right now. Okay, I'm going to take this chance. They don't even know the other information. Some people might get that information and on their way to get vaccinated and put on the brakes. You know what I'm saying? So, but you can't hate somebody for that.
There's a very short road between I hope this person dies and we should make this person dead.
That's right.
There's a very short road between I hope this person dies or these people die and we should kill these people.
Right.
That road is not a long road.
Yeah,
that's a short road.
That's one act away.
Yes.
That's all that is, what you just said.
So those are just my thoughts. I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of what I said.
Well, yeah, I agree with everything you said. You know, correct, you know, and you know, this. I haven't heard anybody say anything about, you know, like they hate people who didn't get vaccinated, though. You say you actually heard somebody say that? Like a real person?
Oh, yeah.
You read
they're all on, not only are people saying this, they're all online saying this, right? I'm not on social media.
Right.
But I'm being shown by people like, man, this thing is getting real. Like people
wow.
are saying, you know, online and on, apparently on Twitter, and they're sending it to, copying and sending it to. And they're
right.
saying that, you know, you right. see them. Oh, I hope the governor of Florida, I hope him and his family dies from COVID.
Ooh.
You know, and all this kind of stuff. And oh, I'm like, what? Right?
Well,
and people are saying that they hope other people die because they don't want to take it. Oh, they're selfish.
Wow.
They're going to cause people to die. I hope they die, blah, blah.
Right.
This kind of thing. The rhetoric has already started.
Wow. That's new to me right there. That's the only thing I didn't know about. You know, but, you know, like I'm saying, like that's evil genius, if that's the goal, they have succeeded. And the next step is for people to actually start expressing that hate. You understand what I'm saying? Not
yeah.
verbally. I mean, to act
oh,
out
yeah.
that,
or,
their feelings.
Or what they're going to do is, instead of people going out and harming people, I think what they'll do instead is, because this is how we are now, we're lazy as hell, right? They give passive approval to the government to do something.
Right, right.
Like, oh yeah, okay, you can lock these people up in the
right.
concentration camp.
Right.
Right.
Kind of like being black
this.
In the 60s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And right now, actually.
yeah, actually. So, That's my thoughts anyway.
Wow, yeah.
I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned.
Wow. You're right. That's alarming right there. That right there, because I mean, we got a lot of hatred here, and we see what people do in this country, or around the world, anywhere, when they hate you. You know what I mean? That makes you a very vulnerable population, you know? And especially if the say in this case, the haters are the people who are in compliance with government. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that makes that a very dangerous situation right there. So as you said, I can see this thing because people make up government in different branches of government. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Wherever those haters are, just like it's just like being black. If they hate you when you show up, you're gonna get hammered. You know, you're not gonna get the treatment you should get maybe somewhere, because not only that might be the double whammy, right? You black and unvaccinated, so you go to the hospital.
Oh yeah,
that's almost like a death sentence. You should have got the vaccine.
Doctors are now refusing to help patients who haven't been vaccinated. There's a doctor in Florida who's done this, and there was another doctor who did it, and a woman had just come out of the doctor's office. She's pregnant, mm-hmm. and her doctor that had been treating her is no longer going to treat her because she's not vaccinated, and she's pregnant.
Interesting. Right. And they're saying the pregnant woman shouldn't take the vaccine. But I'm going to say this. See, this is the problem is we got some so-called experts saying it's okay for certain classes, groups of people to take the vaccine. Then we have other people, like Peter McCullough, saying that no, you shouldn't. Certain groups of people should not take this vaccine. You know, and you know, to me, we shouldn't be having a debate about that. This is science we're talking about, right?
Yep.
That shouldn't be a debate.
It's really politics.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. That's what they're saying. That's the cut to the story. This is a political process, and it has very little to do with science. It's using science to perpetuate a political agenda. So, but I mean, like I always say, it's kind of like our fault because we got the fox minding the chicken coop. You know what I'm saying? We just, as a people, we just sitting back, letting the fact that we perceive government as being something other than us, that says the story right there. That's like saying I'm not a part of government. You know what I'm saying? Because you voting, that's not all you do is vote for a guy to screw you. How many people does that? We all do it when we vote. So we don't make any laws. We don't influence people to make laws or nothing. We don't have the ability to do none of that. I know I didn't make a law lately. I didn't influence anybody, and not anybody that I come in contact with has the ability to get a law passed. Nobody begging for laws. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know. Wow, this thing is going to get a lot worse. Hopefully, I hope it doesn't. I know what you're saying and everything, but you know, because once it gets into people's hearts, that's a hard thing to get rid of. You know what I'm saying? That's very. If you can't legislate that, that's not going anywhere. It's in somebody's heart.
That's very true.
Yeah, once they plant that seed, that's
a... Hopefully there's somewhere, I mean, like, hopefully this is not rolling out. It looks like it's rolling out in many places in the world, but there are some places where this is not being done.
Right.
Where they're fighting back against it.
Right.
Some Eastern European countries, definitely some African countries, they're saying, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing that.
Right.
And I think some leaders have been taken out as a consequence. That's a story for another day, I guess. Topic for another day.
And that's a constant right there, what happens. That happens on not just with COVID, with other issues also.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So, brother, yeah. Hey, listen, I enjoyed the conversation. I will definitely call in again.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling
next week,
in.
Hopefully. And, yeah. Yeah, keep the conversation and the information coming, man. I'm joining.
I'm trying. Thank you.
All right, man. All right, good night.
All right, peace. Like I said, we can all agree that if a vaccine is ineffective, does not prevent infection and provide immunity, it is an ineffective vaccine, right? So efficacy in reducing symptoms does not outweigh the risk of impairment or death or adverse long-term risk or of impairment or death. Dr. DeVito's clinical study concludes certain groups of people should not receive the vaccine. As I just mentioned, Dr. Peter McCullough stated, there is evidence that the vaccine is not safe, but authorities also in the United States continue to push the narrative that the vaccine is safe. All right? Some evidence, they said the vaccine should be stopped. With all this information, misinformation, disinformation, it would be easy to clear the air about the virus, vaccines, and all treatments. Censorship, which I don't know if people realize that they are censoring people's media output, depending on what you're saying. People are scared to say anything against the vaccine. I guess I must be stupid. Anyway, people just outward saying that I can't say this because they cut me, drop my show and, cut the footage, which is crazy. Where are we living at? Is this a fascist country? Or is this supposed to be a democracy? Well, that's another show, too, because this is hardly a democracy. Okay? Anyway. Censorship validates distrust in the government and the so-called powerful ones, big pharma, interest groups, and investors. See, if you censor, you're going to cut off anything that speaks against what your agenda is. That's kind of validating that, hey, something's going on. It shouldn't be going on here. Because if you speak of the truth, it's gonna withstand anything somebody else has to say. So it's kind of an indication that somebody is not telling the truth, not being open with you, okay? But and the point being, if you're not open about something that you want me to put in my body, right, then you want to force me to take that same thing, but you're not being open about it. You have a history. You guys got to read up. I've been doing things on big pharma and the pharmaceutical companies and why people don't take the vaccines and or what they say about some of these vaccine companies being people who have a history of presenting things to the public as marketing things to the public that they know have been harmful, have all these lawsuits and things like that. Johnson & Johnson makes a vaccine, right? They have a lawsuit up right now for a talcum powder, right, which caused cancer, right? They said ovarian cancer. That's Johnson & Johnson. As I said previously in one of the shows, how many of us would recommend a patient who did shoddy work in your house, right? In your house, the work in somebody's house that you know. How many would do that? And how many would consider that person a friend if they recommended that person? How many would trust that person for making that recommendation? How many of us would do that? Something's wrong with this picture. Economics should never supersede life, right? But that is simply wishful, grandiose, even magical thinking. So I'm not going to let nobody else say it. I'm going to say it first. Listen to why, how things are explained, and maybe you can see what the motive is. Would you have voted for Biden knowing he would force you to receive the vaccine? Have you fired? You don't. If he appeared to be a oblivious to adverse risks and effects of the vaccine, would you have voted for this guy? Even with Trump on the other side. Anyway, so from USA Today, right? They say Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate law. What happens to those who won't get the shot? Because I know a lot of you are going to be wondering, right? Because a lot of folks work in work environments with over 100 people. President Joe Biden initiated a nationwide mandate to fight the COVID-19 pandemic, ordering American employees with 100 or more workers to ensure their workforce is entirely vaccinated. Get the jab. You are conscious, objective, religious objection, have the mind of your own. They don't even value your own mind for you or to decline the vaccination. They're telling you you have to receive authorization, right? Support from an organization, a religious organization, right? For not to get this vaccination, or a doctor. Hey, but he can't get it because of X, Y, Z. Or he don't have to get it because that goes against his religion. Really? You can't make that decision for yourself? Hey, that's not good for me. You gotta go on what a 3,000 4,000-year-old book says. You can't make that decision for yourself. They don't respect you as an individual. You have no power as far as they're concerned, right? So anyway, they say his six-part plan to counteract the Delta variant is his most aggressive action. Newsflash, Delta variant is just one variant. They got the Delta Plus. They got something, I think it was one of those Greek names, Epsilon or something like that. They got the C12. Like, yo, are you kidding? So this is, he's trying to counteract the Delta variant. And his most aggressive action he's taking yet. This is aggressive. Anytime somebody's trying to take food out of your mouth, your roof from over your head, they're being aggressive towards you, and you are under attack. The hell with COVID 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. You are under attack. It is expected to affect nearly 80 million Americans, including government employees, who also fall under the mandate. So you are under attack, right? They have went to war for less than that, for oil, resources. Understand? But what are these consequences for someone who doesn't comply, right? Many Republican governors at the brother state oppose Biden's orders and have threatened lawsuits. From USA Today, they talked about that, right? Are mandates enforceable? Biden's pathway to enforce the mandate is through the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Now, if you hear that, right, that sounds like, okay, I'm a contractor. Y'all got to have certain conditions on the site that ensure that I'm safe. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe if I'm up high, maybe I got to have a rope attached to me. You understand? To a belt, right? Or maybe if I got to have, I'm a welder, I got to have the shield. Right? I got to have the pads, the gloves, you know? I got to have the things I need to do it in a safe manner, right? Anyway, OSHA, they call it, which requires businesses and large companies to put safety regulations in place to ensure the health and security who work at a given company. That's what he's coming through. That's a stretch. Like, yo, this man is, this guy's basically controlling the narrative. Right, they just making things do what they wanted to do, basically, and that's what been happening in this country anyway. Basically, what happened when Europeans came here, they made it do what they wanted it to do. So they wrote it in the law, and they circumvented the law. They to suit their mandates, their objectives, and things like that, and that's still going on now, happening to the American people, it happened to the native indigenous peoples. And it happened to so-called Americans, people that were part of the, who became part of the country who exterminated the original folks that was here. So the same, it's the same mentality. You guys gonna do as we say. We're gonna put what we say in the law, and here it is. No mandate has focused on employees like this. However, OSHA mandates have typically focused on work conditions, they say, at the property of the company, as I just said, right? One exception that OSHA had enforced companies requiring hepatitis B documentation, but that wasn't technically a mandate, all right? Wait a minute. I have never been asked if I received a Hep B vaccination. Not gone anywhere. This so-called mandate appears to be relevant to a target population most likely to be subject to the disease, not the U.S. population, not all employers. Hep B is also given three times on the vaccine schedule at birth, 1 to 2 months, and 18 months. All right? So they said that was rare that they even, a vaccine was included in that. So the Hep B, that's like, OSHA facts, the Hep B vaccination standard requires employees to offer the vaccination series to all workers who have occupational exposure, right? Examples of workers who may have occupational exposure include but are not limited to healthcare workers, emergency responders, morticians, first aid personnel, correctional officers, laundry workers in hospitals and commercial laundries that service healthcare safety institutions. It seems to be dealing with human fluids, right? You have contact with fluids coming from another human being. That's everybody on the planet, right? The vaccine and vaccination must be offered at no cost to the worker and a reasonable time and place. The great majority of those vaccinated will develop immunity to the hepatitis B virus, right? So the vaccine causes no harm to those who are already immune or to those who may be Hep B carriers, although workers may desire to have their blood tested for antibodies to see if vaccination is needed. They even have that clause in there. They're not testing for antibodies. This, even for this situation, they have a better a grip of it than they have with this one. And in just case you think Hep B is you know, nothing, think again. Employees cannot make such screening a condition of receiving vaccination, and employers are not required to provide pre-screening. Employers must ensure that all occupationally exposed workers are trained about the vaccine and vaccination, including efficacy, safety, method of administration, and the benefits of the vaccination. Now, the only thing I find out about that is that they don't speak about adverse effects here. Now, maybe in the training that is implied, I don't know. The CDC said hepatitis B vaccine can prevent hepatitis B. Does COVID-19 vaccine prevent infection and provide immunity against COVID-19? Don't take my word for it. From the CDC, what you need to know. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. You may have side effects after vaccination, but these are normal. It typically takes 2 weeks after you are fully vaccinated for the body to build protection immunity against the virus that causes COVID-19. Hold up. Wait a minute. It typically takes 2 weeks after you are fully vaccinated for the body to build protection and have immunity, right? Immunity means ability of protection against receiving and being infected and passing the virus on to somebody, all right? So if you are not vaccinated, like they say, find a vaccine. Right? If you are fully vaccinated, you can resume activities that you did prior to the pandemic. That's from the CDC. The same folks, aren't they the same folks that are telling you that you need to keep distancing, wear the mask, wash your hands, cough your elbow. I don't need to cough my elbow anyway. I don't care whether it's COVID or not. You know, all that stuff, right? What? That comes from the CDC. So that we can trust them because they know what they're doing. Would not tell us that a vaccine provided immunity that didn't provide immunity and wasn't safe. The CDC wouldn't do that. From the science blog, do COVID-19 vaccines prevent infection and transmission? Studies in wildly vaccinated populations such as those in Israel and the UK have confirmed in vivo that protection promised by different vaccines, the risk of vaccinated individuals transmitting the virus may be reduced. Listen, the risk, number one, the risk of vaccinated individuals transmitting the virus may be reduced. So that's like saying you can get the vaccine and you can transmit the virus. The risk is going to be reduced. Three experts working at the EINEM offers their insights. Baker's Hospital Review. Nearly 60% of the hospitalized COVID patients in Israel fully vaccinated. Data shows. Most of the vaccinated patients in the hospital, about 80% were at least 60 years old, ministering booster doses to people ages 60 and older. The country has since expanded booster dose eligibility to Israelis who are at least 50 years old. Given the large number of fully vaccinated Israelis, some breakthrough cases were expected. Health officials say, and a growing body of research has shown those who are unvaccinated face far higher risk of severe illness or death from a COVID-19 infection. All right, so as a brother, we're talking about waiting to see what happened. Well, some things have actually happened. The older you get, the more compromised or weakened your immune system is. That makes people over 60 or 65 more susceptible to any disease, right? From Israel today, is the Pfizer vaccine to blame for Israel's high COVID infection rate? Top media personality slams disregard for Israeli studies showing vaccinated more likely to be infected than those with natural antibodies. I don't know if you heard the narrative that the vaccine will provide more infection, more protection than your natural, your God-given ability to fight off infection. They said that the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Health responds. Israelis are frustrated by the fact that their nation has one of the highest COVID-19 vaccination rates. 20% are fully vaccinated and 25% had already had a booster, and yet is also leading the world in daily rate of new infections. Over 60% are fully vaccinated and 25% have already had a booster. That's the number three shot. Israel has been logging over 10,000 new infections daily this week, they said, with a positive test rate around 7%. Many countries no longer consider Israel to be green on the COVID scale. By comparison, the United States has been registering about half the number of newly daily infections per capita, around 900 per million citizens for Israel, just 450 per million for the U.S. A new study suggests that Israel's high vaccination rate could be at least partially to blame for the current spike in coronavirus infections. The study was carried out by Israel's Maccabi Healthcare Services. It's a local HMO, right? Where it was featured in the leading scientific journal, Science and Nature, right? Why is Israel still giving COVID boosters if the WHO said to stop, S-T-O-P? But it only garnered serious attention in Israel when a veteran journalist, right, from Israel and Channel 13 News anchor, I can't even say his name, Coulter, Osrat Coulter, expressed their disapproval over the findings not being widely reported in Israel. Is that what we call censorship? Somebody help me. Israel is one of only three countries that is presently administering COVID-19 booster shots. So several others plan to begin in the coming months. The United States is one of them. And these countries are doing so despite strong objections. The WHO. A funny thing about that is that who is that? I think India is filing legal action against the WHO because they released some information saying to not to use ivermectin to treat COVID-19 on individuals. Something to the tune of, you know, basically is you shouldn't use it to treat people. And these people have been treating people with a combination of ivermectin and whatever they do for a long time. And it has prevented people, has saved people's lives, just to make a long story short. And they are suing the World Health Organization for making that statement. And if that's the same World Health Organization, I don't know how it works, maybe a different person is involved with this than over there, I don't know. But it's the World Health Organization. And they're saying, hey, stop that booster shot. Did we hear anybody here say anything about that? The cautioning about the third shot based on this information? Is that censorship? Experts at the WHO are adamant, they say, that the science simply isn't there to decisively conclude, as Israeli officials seem to be doing, that the Corona booster shots are even necessary. There's no scientific evidence yet that we need to have a third dose, said Marangelina Samal, the WHO assistant director general for access to medicines, vaccines, and pharmaceuticals. To me, that's a lot coming from the WHO. Because the WHO makes me think of who the hell are they and what the hell are they thinking about? But this here, the WHO putting on the brakes, that's news right there. That's probably a story right there. Israeli leaders continue to pump the media with figures ostensibly showing that the booster shots are having a positive impact. I want to keep saying this, right? Because we're talking about misinformation, disinformation, right? We call that lying where I come from, right? But Israeli leaders continue to pump the media with figures ostensibly showing that the booster shots are having a positive impact in the battle against COVID-19. Kind of time I got. I'm running out of time. Okay, I'm sorry. So that is a lot coming from the WHO. I didn't think they had the balls to say anything against perpetuating the vaccine agenda. Many in the medical, biological field have warned against the dangers of a vaccine utilizing the engineered spike protein. Dr. Buttar, Dr. Christina Parks, Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology, Dr. Peter McCullough, all sound the alarm and advocated alternative treatment, early intervention treatment. Dr. McCullough stated that natural immunity is stronger, more effective than and provides more the Wuhan variant. As you know, that's when they started it, right? Current vaccines do not provide immunity or stop the spread of infection. Joe Biden has attempted to force Americans to get the jab by threatening their livelihood, their homes, their children, by empowering employees to mandate proof of vaccination or submitting to weekly testing. Also, you could be fired. Israeli and U.S. leaders continue to pump the media with figures ostensibly showing that the booster shots are necessary, right? Or maybe necessary for the U.S. I don't know if they started the booster shots or not, but Israeli people, they kicking it, right? So I'm running out of time, y'all. And like I said, I get it. Fear is a mother. I get it. You know, but be informed. That's all. That's the best thing to say. Keep your eyes and your ears open. And you don't believe everything people say. Do your own research. You don't have to believe everything. You don't have to take my word for it. Do your own research. Until next week, I want to thank all the callers, all the listeners. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones for that Black Urban America Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. And to you guys, man, please, wake up. Don't be afraid. You have computers in your hands, in your back pockets. I don't know where y'all keep your phones at. You have information that you access. Use it. Until next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.